Blog Talk Radio.
There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise. When he calls my name, no more sorrow, no more pain. I will
Jesus, thank you. Yes.
Yeshua. Thank you. Thank you. Jehoshua, praise you, Lord. Praise you, mighty, mighty God, mighty Jesus, mighty Yeshua, mighty, mighty Jehoshua. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, mighty, mighty God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, shalom, shalom, my brother and my sister. Welcome to the Lord's Hour. This is your host, brother in Christ, Brother Elvi Zapata. Thank you, Lord. We thank God for the opportunity to come here and share His word, His revelation. Thank you, Lord, because everything belongs to Him. Hallelujah. And so He gets the glory. Hallelujah. We are just servant of Christ. So the Lord always gets the glory for everything because He was the one who went to the cross, not us. Thank you, Lord. So we have to be grateful. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. For His mercy. Hallelujah. His grace. Hallelujah. He's always good. He's always dear for us. Amen. Since the beginning of creation, the Lord Jesus has been there. Amen. He always been there for His people. Amen. So, hallelujah. It's all about Him. Father sent Him because without Him, there is nothing creation can do. There's nothing we can do. We're all part of creation. My brother, my sister, He told His disciple, He has to hold everything in His hand in order for everything to be hold, to be in place. Amen. Thank you, sister. Shalom, Isham. One of you, my brother of the Lord's Hour, Roger, the Pastor Bride of Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord's given me a beautiful revelation, but it was a beautiful, strong reminder this week, which I would like to share tonight. Thank you, Lord. I would like to go into the Word before I do. Amen. Because the Word, hallelujah, He is the truth. Amen. And so we learn of Him from the Word of God. They speak of Him. It's His Word to Him. Amen. So 1 John 1:14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. No one like Him, my brother and sister. He has all the grace you need. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, for us, for all creation. Hallelujah. All creation depend on Him. And we thank God for Jesus. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace ye are saved through faith. And that's not of yourself. Amen. It is the gift of God. Not by words. Let any man should boast. That any man should be proud about. Hallelujah. Oh, take the credit for it, my brother and sister. None of us can take the credit for what Jesus has done, my brother and sister. That's why the Lamb is worthy to open the seal in heaven, to sit in the temple of God at the right hand of Father. He is worthy because He was the one who died. He was the one who suffered. He was the one who took upon Himself the sin of all the world. My brother and my sister. And for that, we need to be grateful before our God, before our Father. Hallelujah. Genesis 6:8 says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Hallelujah. Can men find grace in the eyes of God? Yes, like Noah, yes, they can. Noah lived completely for God. His life was about serving the Lord and nothing else. While everybody was having fun, as they call it, or say, Noah was totally busy in the business of his father, his God. So he found grace. It pleased God what Noah did. Psalm 84:11. David says, for the Lord God is a sun. Hallelujah to his son. A shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Amen. God is not going to hold anything from his bride, from his children, from his elected selected. A lot of people walk around like they're not going to have nothing. Or this is it. They're not going to get anything. And they're wrong. God is merciful, my brother and sister. He's going to fulfill his promise. Amen. We just got to wait on him. Luke 2:40. The Bible said that a child grew and was strong in spirit, filled with wisdom and the grace that God was upon him. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, imagine having the grace of God upon your life, upon you. Well, Jesus had it. From the moment he was a child, from the moment he was born, from the moment those kings came to bring him gifts, my brother and sister, he was recognized as a king, as a Lord and Lord and King of Kings. And he was worshiped him since he was a baby. He was recognized by those kings that serve him. And it's for each and one of us to recognize who Jesus is, my brother and sister. This week, the Lord surprised me. I was in the spirit. Another sign, Jesus come. My brother and sister, I can see a temple, like a large church, right before me. This church is in heaven. This temple is in heaven. My brother and sister, Shalom, Brother Miguel. As I'm looking at this beautiful temple, beautiful church, I wanted to have an image ready to try to describe to you how it looks. But I didn't think I had enough time to put it together. Maybe sometime in the week. And I'm looking at this building, and Jesus is right there in front of me, looking at me. I fix my eyes on Jesus, because his beauty always stunned me. My brother and sister, I'm looking at his garment, his beauty. He's more beautiful than 10,000, as the word of God says. With those eyes that I can seem not to get enough of it, he's looking at me. I'm completely sold out in love for him as I'm looking at the Lord. At the very moment, before I focused on him, in the spirit, I was meditating about all these prophecies that the Lord has given us and has spoken through his prophet about the end, about him coming, the wrath of the pasture, and all these prophecies, the judgment and all that. My brother and sister, and I've been meditating on, so what do we do? How do we pray? How do we go about our lives, my brother and sister? As I'm thinking there, as I'm standing there in the spirit, Jesus is in front of me. He looks at me. He looks at me sideways. Oh, I love his eyes. They're full of love, full of grace. Oh, his love, indescribable. My brother and sister, I can see why the devil is so mad. Because when you fall in love with Jesus, oh, you're sold out for him. And the Lord says to me, I am grace. My brother and sister. And like he's waiting for that word for me to take the word in. Because I tell you, I'm a little bit slow. And I'm not ashamed to say it. My brother and sister. He says, I am grace, he says to me. With a voice full of love and everything in it. God, power, I mean everything. Grace, love, peace, joy. His word comes for everything to your life. It penetrates your being. He says, I am grace. And as I'm looking at the building, looking at him and looking at the building, he's showing me of heaven. The temple that he goes to pray every day. And he says to me, when I go into that temple to pray, when I go into the prayer and into my prayer, when I go in into prayer, hallelujah, everything changed. He says to me, everything. When he goes into that building and prays to Father, he says, everything changed. He says to me, hallelujah, like you, hallelujah, I got to take this in. I got to take, I've been taking it in for days now. Praise the Lord, 2 days or three now. Taking what Jesus just showed me, what he just said to me. Hallelujah, I am grace. And when I go in prayer, when I go in there and pray, hallelujah, everything changed, he says. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know how many of you are ready for this word, but you have to be ready every day for the Lord. Hallelujah. How do you take that in? Praise. How do you receive that, what Jesus says to me? Those eyes full of love and grace looking at me. He says, I am grace. Hallelujah. Thank you. I hope you're sitting down. Sorry, I should have warned you to sit down, relax, because these words sometimes can be, hallelujah, they come with a very heaviness of love and peace and joy. Hallelujah. He says, I'm in grace. I am grace. And when I go into prayer, things change there. Show me the temple where he prayed. I heard it in Sitra is supernatural, this sister, that the Lord takes her to heaven and she goes into that temple to pray. And I have wondered about this, and Jesus wanted to show me the temple where he goes in heaven and pray. And I'm looking at this beautiful white temple, church, large, very large, where he goes through this main entrance, door, huge, into prayer with Father. And he says that when he goes into prayer, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, everything change. Hallelujah. The Bible says he makes everything new. Hallelujah. He says in Matthew 21:13 to his disciple, and he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, and you have made it a den of thieves. Man, did that apply today so clearly? Did this apply to the end time church more than to the time of the disciple? Of den of thief, my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. When people, all they have in their heart and their mind is to steal. Like the devil, to John 10:10, to kill, steal, and destroy. In the last days, this word applied more than in the time of the disciple, I believe. Of den of thief, my brothers and sisters. They have made the house of God. But the Lord said that his house should be called a house of prayer. The little that they do a prayer in church today, they do a lot of other things more, even talk about politics more than prayer. And the Lord said that his house should be called a house of prayer. My Lord, my God, have mercy. Have mercy. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And then you have those same thieves that were in the house of the Lord in Matthew 23:14. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour the widow house for a pretense, make long prayer. Therefore, you shall receive greater damnation. Not only was this a house of thieves, my brother and sister, but they also, hallelujah, made excuses to go and pray in his house. My Lord, my God, hallelujah, hallelujah. And then in Mark 11:17, the apostle Mark heard Jesus say these words. He thought, saying unto them, it is not written that my house shall be called, my house shall be called for all nations, the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thief. Hallelujah. For all nations. Everyone welcomes, in other words, from all nations to come and pray in his house. My brothers and sisters, this word applies more to the last day than from the time of the disciple. I believe, my opinion, Lord, I'm sorry if I'm wrong. I know it applies for their time, but I am sure it applies for the last days. My brothers and sisters, hallelujah. This is incredible. Hallelujah. And then Luke said he heard the saying unto them in Luke 19:46, it is written, my house is a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thief. Hallelujah. It's incredible how instead of like Isaiah said in Isaiah 56:7, even then I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offering and their sacrifice shall be accepted upon my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all the people. My Lord, my God, have mercy. Shalom, sister, Jesus, my rock. Hallelujah. A house of prayer unto the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And again, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So spiritually, we can look at this into ourselves. And then our lives should be more about prayer. The Bible says, he liveth to intercede. My brother and sister, out of everything the Lord does, hallelujah, he preferred to intercede, my brother and sister, than anything else. Hallelujah. Can you imagine that? He lived to intercede, my brother and sister. He lived to pray. The book of Hebrews says, the Lord, praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Live it to pray. Live it to pray for the nations. The advocate. Hallelujah. Hebrews 7:25. Therefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost those who come unto God by him, seeing that he even lived to intercede for them. He lived to intercede. Hallelujah. The Bible doesn't say that he lived to preach the Bible or the Word of God. He lived to intercede. Prayer is more important than anything. As I was revealed to my aunt, it's better for you. It is better than for you to feed someone with food, clothes, or money, or shelter. Prayer is more important. Now, does humanity see it this way? No, of course not. They see it their own way. Well, I prefer to give them food. No, I'll give them some money. I'll help them with shelter. Prayer is more important than you giving them money, shelter, food, or clothing. Humanity, for some reason, has been opposite to God since the garden. Since men have been kicked out of the garden. God says this right. Humanity says left. No, left, left, left. He lived to pray because it's more important. Why? It was explained to my aunt in heaven. Because when you pray for someone, you get my Father involved in their life. And with God, all things are possible. He'll make possible whatever they need in their lives. Okay, isn't that what you want? God to come to the person's life and help them and make everything possible for them when you pray for them? So why do you think giving them money, food, and other is better? God, please give us a little wisdom. Hallelujah. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. My brother and sister. But we'll get it in the millennium. The millennium will be all about God. And people are going to learn the right way to serve God. Father himself is going to be teaching children. When this will reveal to me, my brother and sister, I was shocked to the core of my being. I saw Father from his throne speaking to children on the earth in the millennium. He was teaching them word by word on how to serve him. And little children, 4, 5, 6, 7, were completely understanding how Father was guiding them and every word he was giving them. They were playing around, and Father was the teacher. My brother and sister, because I was looking for the teacher, because I was thinking for a minute, why are the children playing outside the school? Because I can see the building, the millennium. And there's no supervision. Where's the teacher? Because down here, if we the parents were responsible when the children, their homes, right? If they go outside, we watch them, we supervise them. Well, in school, teachers are supposed to supervise them, right? Well, in the millennium, I'm looking for an adult responsible for supervising the children. And then God wanted me to look up, and I see Father from his throne. He was teaching them. loving kindness, patience, all the fruit of the Spirit that he talks about in his word, that we should have from the Holy Spirit. He works in the fruit of the Spirit, love, patience. You can read it in the Bible. And I'm looking at the children here. Allow me to look at them closely in the Spirit. They were learning. They were receiving from him. My brother and sister, every word was going in them. And they were growing at a speed unheard of, untold. My brother and sister, and the Lord, they were learning of him who is humble and meek of heart. My brother and sister, and peace was in the soul, untold, unheard. Hallelujah. And I was stunned there. It was like for a minute, it was so much. It's the most beautiful thing I ever saw. It was the most wonderful thing I ever saw and experienced. These children on earth, the new earth, beautiful, being taught by God. The knowledge of the Lord, said Isaiah, is going to cover the earth as the water covers the sea. Father God is going to fill this earth with his knowledge. What we preach and miss to teach or taught wrong, he's going to make sure his little ones are taught right. They learn right. They grow right, pure and holy before the Lord, God Almighty, that they will become like Christ, his son, in the image of his son, full, in the fullness of the image of his son. Whatever we miss to preach, whatever we lack, they're not going to lack anything in the millennium. He's going to make sure they learn every word that proceeded out of God's mouth. The man will not live only by bread alone. And a lot of people want to know, Brother Elby, what are we going to eat in the millennium? They're so concerned about food. Food here, food there. Anywhere you drive, you see food. Food store, restaurant. People are so concerned with food. But man will not live by bread alone. The devil tempted Jesus with food, because he tempts humanity every day with food. And he sees humanity fall on their faces. My brother and sister, how easily people fall. God called people to fast. And people say, no, wait a minute. No, I got to take my pills. I can't do it. I'm sorry. They always have an I'm sorry to God. Praise the Lord. God is not calling us for I'm sorry. God is calling us for our obedience. To him, obedience is better than sacrifice, my brother and sister. But we think that with I'm sorry, we're going to justify disobedience. Disobedience is a sin, my brother and sister. Father God spoke to me in heaven a few years ago. He says to me, there's one sin on earth that displeases me, he said. I said, wow, it's Father God. I got to hear what is this. I got to hear what is this. What is this that it pleases him so much? He wanted to show me. And from the throne, he showed me gluttony. I was stunned. I thought he was going to talk about something else, maybe pornographic material or witchcraft. No, gluttony. He showed me. Not even murder or people killing other people. No, gluttony. I was stunned by this. Pleases him. People eating too much, he says. Hallelujah. Sometimes people look more to eat than anything else. We need to be careful. It's a sin. It doesn't please Father. That's why not many people can walk with him. Because not many people can seek to please him. Hallelujah. Like Jesus. You never saw Jesus looking for food. In the moment his disciple, we're hungry. We got to eat. We got to eat. We got to eat. And in Samaria, the Samaritan woman on his way, the disciple left him behind to speak with that woman because they were so concerned with food that if they didn't get nothing to eat, they were not going to have a nice day. And Jesus was hungry like them. He haven't eaten with like them. But Jesus looked for one food, my brother and sister. His food was to do the will of the Father. Hallelujah. The disciple at that moment did not understand the food that Jesus was talking about, the will of the Father. One meal that satisfied him was to share the word of God. When the devil turned to him to turn the stone into bread, what did he say? Men will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of God's mouth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise you. Amen. Sister Gigi Avila, who's in heaven, shared that many fools are idols to people. My brother and sister, amen. Thank you, Lord. We need to be careful about these idols. When Father shared that with me, I was stunned. Because you're thinking about anything else. What other thing? Disobedient? I mean, no. Gluttony. Wow. Surprise to me. People eat too much, he says. Or love to eat too much. Look to eat too much. And we need to be careful with that. Always thinking about food. Yes, you need food to live. But you don't live to eat. You see what I understand? You don't live to eat. A lot of people live to eat. They don't eat to live. My brother and sister, God help us. Have mercy on us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. We need to learn of him who is humble and meek. So Jesus lived to intercede. He lived to pray. He showed me the temple that he goes to pray with Father. He says that when he goes and pray there, everything changed. Everything. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Yeshua. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Nehemiah, as he interceded for the people and pray, he asked God in Nehemiah 1, said, let thy ear now be attentive and thy eyes be open, that thou may hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now day and night for the children of Israel, thy servant, and confess the sin of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. And only we can pray this way. And only, if only we can tell God how sinful we've been, like David, like Nehemiah. These men never made an excuse for their sin when they sinned before God. They never made an excuse. They always recognized their sinning, their mistake before the people. Look how he openly prayed. He didn't care there who was there listening to him and say, oh, you bad boy. You bad boy, Nehemiah. Like some people say, you bad boy. No. Nehemiah was confessing his sin before his God. He didn't care who thought he was a bad boy. Ah, you were keeping it quiet, huh? You were keeping it to yourself, huh? But I heard what you confessed, like some people say, pointing finger. Nehemiah confessed his sin before his God because Nehemiah wanted God to restore him and restore his people. The priests, when they came every year to make the sacrifice, it was required of them that they will make a small sacrifice for themselves before the Lord. So God would forgive the sin and cleanse them and wash them from the sin before they will be ready to stand before God and make a sacrifice for the sin of the people. They needed to make sure they made a sacrifice. Now, if the priest was not walking right with God and was walking in pride and said, I got this, I got this. Everybody step aside. I got this. I got it. But wait a minute, bro. No, step aside. I got this. I got this. I know what I need to do. I saw what Aaron and them did. I saw what the high priest did. I got this. Don't worry about it. I got this. And go in there with pride. And then I made a sacrifice for himself.
Because he said he got it. He was killed instantly by God. Instantly he died. My brother, so he didn't got it. Hell got him, but he didn't got it. My brother and sisters, hallelujah. This is not about I got this. This is where we need to humble ourselves. I repent before the Lord every day, every night. The same like anybody else. I don't think I'm better than anybody else. We all the same before him. I pray for mercy for my soul. I don't got this. God got me. I don't got it. My brother and sister, we can only trust the Lord in this to help us to endure, to persevere. So if you think, because I've been here for so many years, I'm better than you. No, 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 that's not right. That's not right. Believe me, that's not right. We're the same here. We got to pray for mercy. We got to repent our sin and trespasses. Now, we don't go around sinning and doing crazy stuff. No. We just got to repent, my brother and sister, and seek for mercy for our own soul. Don't think of anybody else being better than you, because that's wrong. That is not the devil. That's not a teaching that anyone should practice. Hallelujah. Nehemiah pray. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, and confess the sin of the children of Israel, for we have sinned against thee. Now, when you go into Daniel writing in his books, Daniel did the same. Daniel confessed his sin and the sin of his people. You hear God's man praying this way, and you wonder, but these men were holy men of God, separated unto the Lord. How come they were praying this way like any other people? Because we are counted like sheep in the slaughter, and we got to pray for mercy every day. My brother and sister, a lot of people don't realize that we that preach the gospel are more persecuted than anybody else. When I was a listener in the churches sitting there going every day, I barely had any persecution. Everything was great. When I became a preacher, called by the Lord, man, did the persecution. People in the church began to rise. People anywhere, my job, everywhere, began to rise against me right away. Like, when did I become a blank for these people to throw a stone against? Immediately the stone was coming my way. Before it was all loving. Oh, God bless you. Have a great day. Then later on, there was no God bless you. Have a great day anymore. It was just criticizing me. Now, like, but I'm not doing anything wrong against them. I'm still the same guy. How come I became enemy number one for them afterward? Because that's the way it is. The enemy will rise anyone. My brother and sister. He don't care who. Hallelujah. God have mercy. Praise the Lord. 2 Chronicles 7:2. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place for myself for a house, a sacrifice. God hears our prayer. I got some prayer before the Lord that I need the Lord to come before the Father and intercede for me. Hallelujah. We need the Lord to represent us before Father. And we need to pray it every day. The problem is we don't pray enough. We think we do. No. You know how you know you pray enough? When you pray 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, then you can say to me, Brother Obi, I don't sleep, I'm praying. When I'm all day long, I'm in prayer. Oh, you really are praying enough. If you're not there, you're not praying enough. None of us are there. None of us are there. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, God. The man of God, Jesus, the Lord confirmed this to me as I read it in his word. He will pray all night long. Jesus never looked at sleeping. Many people think he did because in the boat he was sleeping. They don't understand. He was catching an hour or two of sleep because he'd been praying all night long. Every night. And when you are praying every night and all night long, Hector Cruz, I remember, the Lord had him pray every day, every night. when he will end a service at 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, the pastors and the leaders, if he had a hotel, he usually would stay in people's home. He didn't even want the people to get a hotel for him. And they will ask him, Pastor, so what are you going to do now, Pastor? Well, I'm going to go into prayer. Okay? They're like, oh, we're going to make breakfast in the morning and all that. Oh, I'm sorry. You can enjoy your breakfast. I'll be in prayer. And some people say in the house state that they will be going to sleep and they can hear him speaking in tongue in his room all night long. They will get up in the morning. He was still speaking in tongues. 10, 11 o'clock in the morning, he was still speaking in tongues with God. And then every night, I think it was one pastor that said, the days he stayed in our house, we did not sleep. Because all we can hear him speaking in tongue in the other room. Every night, all night long. My brothers and sisters. Because that's the way the Lord had him. He never looked to going to sleep. He went to prayer like the Lord. He read it in the Word. It's what Jesus did. It's what he did. He imitated Jesus. God help us. Because we don't do it that way. My brother and sister. Jesus never looked to sleeping. He looked to pray with Father. It's important. The enemy comes at night to tempt people with bad dreams, dirty dreams, tempting dreams, to make them fall in their dreams. How many people fall in their dreams? In fornication and adultery and so much other thing. It's a devil tempting them in their sleep. Imagine if they would have been on their knees praying. Would the devil be able to bring those dreams to their mind? No. God help us. God help us. My brother and sister, God help us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Yeshua. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 2 Chronicles 6:39. What prayer or what supplication shall be made by any man or by all the people of Israel, when everyone shall know his own sore, his own grief, to pray for his end in his house. Hallelujah. When people don't live right before God, so many stuff comes. Hallelujah. But prayer in supplication is how we should come before him. Hallelujah. Before God, this is how they pray. This is how they intercede for other people. The prophet, the great servant of the Lord. This is why when the Lord called me in heaven, I met the prophet Isaiah and them, I ran away. Lord said, my son Elvis, stand there. Where do you think you're going? I didn't think I'm worthy to be counted among them. Praise the Lord. 1 Kings 8:28, Jehovah, thou respect unto prayer thy servant into supplication, O Lord my God. Hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which thy servant pray before thee this day. Hallelujah. This is how the prophet, the servant of God, pray before God day and night. You heard Nehemiah. Nehemiah did not sleep. The word of God, he says he prayed day and night. If you pray day and night, you don't sleep, right? Nehemiah did not sleep, my brother and sister. Concerned for the house of the Lord that was destroying Israel. And he prayed day and night, the Bible says. Few people can do that. But he did it. My brother and sister. Praise the Lord. Let me look this up. Thank you, Lord. It's just so much example in the Word of God for us today. Hallelujah. That if we look at the example of these great men and women of God, like Esther, great woman of God, they didn't think of themselves much in regard to knowing that God's people were not walking right with God. My brother and sister. And to them, they knew this was such a great offense before God. My brother and sister. Such a great offense they knew it was. Hallelujah. Luke 6:12, and it came to pass in those days that he went out unto the mountain to pray. and continue to pray all nine and pray to God. Praise the Lord. How much of the nine did he pray? It's the question that many people have today. Well, people can, in their opinion, can say he didn't pray all night long. Yes, he did. He prayed all night long. My brother and sister. And he knew what the nation, the people needed. Needed someone to pray for them. And he didn't make an excuse. He didn't make an excuse. He did it. He did it all, my brother and sister. He did it because he pleased Father. And knowing that the requirement to please Father is to never worry so much about yourself, but about the will of Father. That his will be done in our own. Hallelujah. Again, Nehemiah 4:9. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. Hallelujah. These men, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. And then in one text, now and day and night for the children of Israel. Day and night, this prophet prayed before God. Nehemiah, what a great man of God. My brother and sister, what a great example to anyone who looking to follow example. And David, then David, 1 Kings 8:48, hear thou the prayer and thy supplication in heaven, Solomon praying, place and maintain all their costs. Amen. And then the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I hallow the house which thou hast built to put my name there forever in my eyes. And my heart shall be there perpetually. Now, God's heart being in Jerusalem perpetually, Naphtali limping, I believe it's limping, my brother and sister had agreed that the two-state solution, which we're going to talk about more on Tuesday, not tonight, more on Tuesday night. And the two-state solution that they have agreed. Benjamin Netanyahu is coming on the 1st of November of next month. My brother and sister. Benjamin Netanyahu, I heard him in a speech a week ago. He said that he didn't agree with what Limpin did. Prime Minister of Israel did, the temporary prime minister after Naphtali, the other Naphtali, was removed. So, it's going to, where everybody's going to be looking to see what's going to happen. We need to pray for Benjamin Netanyahu. And I'm going to tell you this because I already heard comments saying that he's having a difficult time putting his cabinet together again. He had asked some people in Israel to join him, and they have said no to him. Now, that's another sign that if by the first, well, it begins on the first. If by the first week, I believe it is, on November, he's not able to have the people he needs for his cabinet, that's going to be another delay on the coming in prime minister. It's a miracle that Benjamin Netanyahu, after what the court in Israel decreed over him, that he cannot return in 7 years, somehow that was changed, and now he's back a few months later since last year. Become prime minister again when he was supposed to return in 7 years. This is a miracle. A miracle. Because millions of people have saw what the court decided, and now he's going to come back on the first to try to come into office again. But he needs to have the people, the cabinet of his people. I believe it's 63. I could be wrong. I believe I heard 63. But he had asked people to join him, and they said no. Okay, that's, it's really concerning to a lot of people in Israel that wants him back. It's a miracle. It is a miracle, my brother and sister, for him to return. Hallelujah. That means God wants him back. But we'll see because he needs to put his people together. Now with the new Palestinian state, the Limpin agreed with. That complicates everything. Netanyahu disagreed with him. I don't know if he's able to overturn it when he comes back into office. I don't know all the law of Israel yet. I don't know the law there. If he's able to overturn it, like here, when a new president comes in, all those laws can be changed. We don't know yet. It's something that I have a brother researching this stuff. Tuesday, he promised me he's going to give me for Tuesday night more information that I can share on the Lord's Hour. Now, the Lord's Hour, .org, is where I have put up Brother Benjamin prayers for some of you. I put another page, emergency preparedness. I didn't put the link in the chat room. My brother and sister, for the things that are coming very soon that will be unfolding, you can go there, and we put in there links of FEMA and other stuff that people can find. Now, and then there's also Psalm 91 prayer protection there, Psalm 121. You can pray these things, and for sure God honors the prayer of the righteous. God will honor the prayer. Remember the pine tea to give it to your family who are vaccinated. And if you are vaccinated, please buy the pine tea. Okay, please buy it. The pine tea works. Okay, here's the link for that. It's also on the Lord's Hour in case people are looking for this type of information. The pine needle tea. Why pine needle tea is the link. We put information there. See if you can follow some of those links. Some reason the patient has information there mixed. I'm going to have to look into that and update it even better. Okay. Let me see. Well, and then you got the Jewish holiday page also, which we also have up there until 2024. Okay. Yes, take that pine needle tea. Get it in Amazon. I don't have a page for it or a link of a page, but you can put it on Amazon and you can go ahead and drink that tea. It will, you know what it does? The nanotechnology that is in the Bison, it will disable the nanotechnology. It will kill those little robots that are so small that they put in the Bison to change people's DNA. If you take that white pine needle, it will disable those robots and it will come out of your body. And it'll stop it. You will feel a lot better by taking it. Okay, that's why the doctors that did not want it, the company government don't want the pine needle tea in the United States because it's so effective. Okay, my brother and sister, so keep that in mind. Okay, thank you, Lord. We serve such an awesome God. Let me now go into, I have all other prophecy on the things that will be unfolding soon. So John 1:16, and of his fullness we have all received in grace for grace, John says, my brother and sister, from the Lord, from God through Christ for our life, grace for grace. Okay, out of his fullness. That means we were meant to have his fullness in our life, my brother and sister. And that fullness is Christ, our Lord. Amen. Grace for grace is what we get when we have his fullness from the Lord. Thank you, God. God wanted us to have Jesus and have his fullness in our life. John 1:17, for the law was given by Moses, by grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Grace and truth, because he is grace and he is truth. Hallelujah. And so God giving us the whole package, exactly what we need in our lives by giving us Christ, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Acts 4:33, and with great power, the apostle gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Hallelujah. He poured his grace upon them. I believe that's what the revival we're going to get, grace from God. He's going to send us out to evangelize. Thank you for that link. People can follow that link on Amazon for the pine needle. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Acts 11:23. And when he came and has seen the grace of God, he was glad and exhorted of them that all that were purpose of heart, they will cling unto the Lord. Amen. This is why grace is given to us in a certain way, through a revelation and so much more, dream and vision, so we can cling unto God. We come closer to him to drive us closer to him, which that's the will of God. Because the closer you come to the Lord through repentance, through seeking him, through the word, through the knowledge, through the wisdom, through the revelation, the more he changes us and purifies us and remove the things from our life that are not of God. And there are many things in our life that can be that are not of God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Act 13:43, now the congregation have broken up. Many other Jews and religious prolife followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. The apostles were persuading the people to be in the grace of God. Because if you're not in the grace of God, where are you be? In other false teaching. We got to be growing, the Bible saying, his grace. Hallelujah. It's growing in the grace, Paul says. Acts 14:32, long time, therefore, they tarry among them, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of grace, granted sign and wonder to be done by their hand. In Acts 14:20, said, hence sail to Antioch, from when hence they have been commanded to the grace of God to watch, which they have fulfilled. Acts 15:11, but we believe that though through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Amen. 15:40 of Acts. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being commanded by the brethren unto the grace of God. Acts 18:27. And when he was disposed to pass toward Antioch, brethren wrote exhorting the disciple to receive him. And when he had come, he helped them much who have believed through grace. Amen. Notice how Paul, to him, anyone that came to the Lord through his message and believed, he was excited. To him, he knew that right there that his work has been done. He was pleased. He treated them like children with great love. Acts 20:24, but none of these things move me. Neither could in my life dear unto myself, so that I may finish my course with joy, and that the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Amen. Paul was sold out, and that was what's in his heart. Romans 1:5, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for the obedience to faith among all the nations for his name. Amen. All the persecution that Paul was going through, he counted as nothing. It was not a concern to him as long, as he was preaching the word of God. And that's what's important. That's what's important. Hallelujah. Because the Lord is the one doing the work in our life, my brother and sister. And what's important is that when the Lord comes for his bride soon, we will be found worthy to escape in his grace by faith. Remember, we are saved by grace. So even the people staying behind the great tribulation, if they are beheaded, they go to heaven. I mean, they get saved. They go under the altar, the Bible says. So they go into the millennium, as the Lord has shown me. People from the valleys, people from the great tribulation that are beheaded, Revelation 20, they're coming in the millennium to reign with Christ 1,000 years, Revelation 20. So those that didn't receive the mark on their hand or on the forehead, the Bible says. So what's important is that we believe him and that we commit our life to him. Whatever happens from here on, it doesn't matter. As long as the Lord will take us home in the rapture of the pastor, because many of us, like the apostle. You know, the apostle lost their home, their family. They lost a lot. But, you know, they beheld everything by joy, by trusting the Lord. In another word, they didn't let losing family, homes, and riches of this world be so important that will keep them away from serving the Lord. No. They kept committing their life to the Lord no matter what. And so then they receive, hallelujah, salvation. They're in heaven now with the Lord, the apostle, the prophet. And what they have now, no one can take it away, not even Satan. Nobody can take it away from him. No man, no fallen demon can take it away. So now, my brother and sister, their joy is fulfilled. They're in total joy. They're in total peace. They're in that glorious place that we look forward to coming, my brother and sister. So we need to stay focused the same like them, not worrying on what's going to happen to us, what is coming, concern about the judgment. And no, understand that by grace, Jesus being grace, we are saved by his mercy, by his love that endureth forever. He is mercy. He is grace. He is true. If you have him, you have it all. He is holy. He is righteous. He is pure. My brother and sister, you have him, you have it all. Remember the question of Jesus, Lord, how do I know that when you come, I will go home with you? If my Holy Spirit is in you when I come. Now, we got to check ourselves every day with the Lord and see if we have offended the Holy Spirit. The devil wants us to offend the Holy Spirit. Because if the Holy Spirit walks away from your life, you have to stay behind, my brother and sister. The Apostle Paul take it forward with the Roman in Romans 8. If you don't have his spirit, you are not his. That means the person belongs to the Antichrist, the Babylonian system, or has to stay behind and will even take the mark of the beast. It really baffled my mind. Or blew my mind to pieces. The day the Lord took me into the great tribulation, and they had a huge line of people lining up to take the mark of the beast, mandatory. The United States now had changed the law. And anyone who stay behind now, according to the government, will have to take the mark of the beast and the handle on the forehead. Mandatory, my brother and sister. And to my stunning, I saw a pastor there and his wife and part of his congregation lining up to take the mark. And I said, I was standing there. They could not see me. I was in the spirit, but I could see them. I noticed that the Lord did not take me out quick. He wanted me to stand there and look. Because the Lord had warned me about this pastor in his church years ago. And I didn't understand much of why the Lord would say, no, you're not to be part of him or his ministry. You know, it's a lot of things we don't know. But God knows everything. We just got to trust him. And the Lord had me standing there in the great tribulation. And there was a few people, 10 or 12 people ahead of him. Him and his wife. That was behind me and some of his children, some of his church members. And I'm still standing there as people were going by, standing in the right hand, and I saw when they were putting the mark on the right hand. And then came him, thinking, because I didn't know. I thought he was going to reject it and say, you're not putting that on me. I know my Bible. I know what my Bible said. I'm not taking that. That's the mark of the beast. I saw how when it was his turn behind the line, he walked forward. Stand there, you're next, sir. He stretched his right hand, and I saw when they were putting the mark on him of the beast. When he took the mark, then his wife, then his part of his congregation, not all of them were there, but part of them. I surely asked the Lord in that revelation to next time to bring me a share where I can sit and not fall back. My brother and sister, because it was stunning to me. How can someone that knows the Bible, the Word of God, can walk to a line when he knows they're taking the mark of the beast, knowing that the Bible says that whoever takes this mark of the beast will not overcome the second death, is going to be judged in the white throne judgment, is going to the lake of fire that burned with fire and brimstone. My brother and sister, hallelujah. It was shocking to me. I cried when the Lord brought me back because I considered him a friend for years ago. But I understood what the Lord was saying no to me because the Lord knows the past, present, and future. What do we know? I keep telling people we know nothing. We better trust the Lord and forget about what we know. My brother and sister, hallelujah. My Lord, my God. And his wife took it. Another church member that I knew also took it, that followed him faithfully as a pastor. We need to be faithful to God, not just the men. We respect God's men, anointed one, like David. David said, I will not rise against the anointed of the Lord, talking about Saul. Saul was lost. And even though he was lost, David recognized him as being the anointed of the Lord and said that he will not rise against the anointed of the Lord. My brother and sister, I felt the same way about this man. But what the Lord showed me was shocking to me, surprising. And the Lord wanted to remind me, hallelujah, my brother and sister, these were the days when these pastors and TVN, they store and some of them, by name, the Lord took me to the state that we're in today and got the great churches and showed me how displeased he is with them and how they are taking what he has done, what he has given the people to be in faith and use it for their own game. Game, which is never meant to be. My brother and sister, this is the grace of God given to us by mercy. It's not to be taken for gain or game. My brother and sister, Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Notice how we are justified by his grace. Other teaching said that we're justified by his blood, and that it's all in his grace. My brother and sister, God have mercy. Hallelujah. Romans 4:4, now to him that worketh, his reward in recon not according to the grace, but according to the death. Romans 4:16. Therefore, it is a faith that it might be given by grace to the end of the promise might be made sure to all seed. Excuse me. Not to the only which is by the of the law, but to also, excuse me, which is by the faith of Abraham, who is the father of all. Hallelujah. Romans 5:2, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace therein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Notice where we stand. We're standing in his grace. My brother and sister, we're standing by grace and we don't even realize. Hallelujah. We were talking earlier, brother and I, that was visiting me, how long we've been waiting for what the Lord said it will come. And we say, look where we are today, 2022, end of the year. We were talking about this. Look how many years have passed, brother. And God somehow has kept us and have us stand and protect us. My brother and sister, it's been by his grace all these years. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, 30 years next month. Hallelujah. I will be in ministry preaching 30 years next month, November. Praise you, Lord. Nehemiah 4:9, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and said, watch against them day and night because of them. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. But the Lord had not failed me, the only one I know. Since he called me into the ministry, he has fulfilled, oh, glory to Jesus, all his promise. He took me to the place that he said he would, my brother and sister. He had me preach to the people he said he would. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The day I remember, he had a congressman listen to one of my teaching. And he came to shake my hand. As the Lord has said to me, I will be preaching it before Congress. And he shook my hand and told me who he was and told me to continue to do what I was doing. My brother and sister. Because I was preaching to someone and the presence of God was so strong and so powerful that came over this congressman and touched his heart to whipping. And he came to shake my hand and said, continue what you're doing, because truly God is with you. My brother and sister, this nation was built on the foundation of the Bible. Congressmen fear God in this nation. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Yeshua. God is merciful. Romans 5:15. But not as the offense, but also as the free gift. For through the offense many be death, but more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, who abounded into many. And it's not that only they are important. Everyone is important to the Lord, from the little one to anyone. We are all saved by grace, giving me the opportunity to teach, to preach to people from all nations, all languages. And the opportunity of people to translate my language just to Portuguese, to different language, almost all. There's a sister on Sunday. She takes my Spanish message. Sister Nubia from Colombia. And she translates them in all these different languages. And she does an excellent job at this. Sister Nubia from Colombia. She listened to me live. She takes the message, transcribes the message. And she takes this message and translates it in all these languages and send it to all these people. And I have some of these people writing to me, like if I speak any of these other languages, my brother and sister. And they say it's because the message has been translated so well that have touched their life to be repentant with God. And then they're writing to me like I speak those languages. And then I had to apologize and say, no, I'm sorry, I don't speak those languages. But we got your message in our language. And it was like I preach in those languages. And God touched their heart. And they're repenting before God. And they're seeking God. And they're crying back to God. And they're like, no, you were preaching in our language. And I said, I'm sorry, I don't speak your language. But that's okay. His sister is translating them. I said to them, praise you, Lord. Praise you, God. My brother and sister, French, German. I mean, so many languages. She translates this message. And God touches the heart of these people. My brother and sister, God is so awesome. He is so good. Hallelujah. Great is sufficiency. Romans 5:17-4. By one man offense, there reign by one. Much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You see, you can, hallelujah, do something so simple like she does faithfully. She asked me if she could. I said, I called sister years ago. She's been doing it faithfully every week. And faithfully, the message going to people and touching people's heart and having people repent and come to the Lord. Now, explain that. Can't explain the grace of God. It's just sufficient for people to be in faith, for people to come to his knowledge. My brother and sister, hallelujah. All glory be unto the Lord. How can I take any credit when I'm not even able to speak those languages, but the Lord is still able to save them? And that's what's important, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. I think my brothers and sisters from Australia, brothers and sisters who listen live in Australia, hallelujah. So many nations that are in different hours, and they still listen live. A brother contacted me from Africa. Said, Brother Obi, I'm listening to you live. I remember. I said, what time is there? It was about 2, 3 in the morning, live, because it's a different hour. And I said, Brother, do you work? He said, yes. Aren't you supposed to be asleep? I mean, you can listen to the recording. No, no, no. I prefer to listen live, brother. God ministered to me when I listen to you live. I want to listen to your life. So what do I say to that? Okay, brother, okay. I'm sorry, I'm just, you know, because the message is being recorded in the archive. You can download them later. It's okay. He said he preferred to listen to the life of God ministered to him. Amen. I love to listen to your life. So, you know, who are we to say, no, wait a minute, you got to get some sleep. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Romans 5:21, that is, sin hath reigned unto death. Even so, my grace reigned through the righteousness unto eternal life by grace Christ our Lord. Amen. Jesus hath reigned, and he's going to continue to reign forever and ever. Nothing can stop him. Nothing can detain him or slow him down. He's going to make sure everything he promised you and I that he's going to bring to pass. And if you're still a little bit nervous on how Jesus is going to bring the promise of God to pass, look who's behind him. Look who's supporting him. The eternal one. Support him. And he has said, all knee will bow. All tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord for the glory of God. Father God's going to make sure his sons win. He knows he's going to win. He knows his son is going to win because he truly knows who his son is, Almighty God. Praise the Lord. His son is God. There's no way possible his son can be being in any way, in any shape, or in any form. He already overcame. So there's no doubt, and there's no way doubt can be in him anyway. But there's no way possible for him to lose. Hallelujah. No way possible. The only reason why his enemy think that they can have a chance, they're going to take a chance because they think they have a chance. But listen well, his enemy has no chance at all. None. All he had to do is show up with his glory, and his enemy are defeated right away. He don't need to do anything. Show up with his glory, and his enemy are in the floor crying for mercy. Defeated right away. Praise the Lord. Read his Bible. That's what he is, Almighty God. Thank you, Lord. I was taken to the throne of Jesus for one time. This time, he wanted me to experience his power. I was put down maybe a couple of miles or less than a, I always pray between a mile or two before his throne. I have to walk straight ahead with his throne. There was like a field that I had to walk through to get to his throne. Like one of the baseball park with the grass is beautifully cut, professional baseball, and it's just so clean. Heaven is just so clean. How do they keep it clean? I'm going to have to ask. I'm going to have to ask the Lord, do you have a machine up there? What do you use? How can you keep the grass in heaven so level? Everything is so clean. There's not a drop of nothing, a paper or anything in heaven. How do you do that? But that's how heaven is. And so they lay me down the grass. The grass is very comfortable to work on. It's like walking on the top of a carpet, very comfortable for your feet. Nothing hurts you in heaven either. How is that possible? Well, God all things are possible. And I'm walking straight. As I begin to approach the throne before a mile, I hear this boom, boom, boom. As I'm looking, it was like nuclear weapon, hundreds and thousands of them going off at the same time out of the throne of Jesus. It was coming like thundering and power and lightning altogether. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Almighty. And I began to you know, wow. Praise the Lord. And I'm like, and I knew this was his throne. And the throne was mighty, full of power and lightning. And everything was clear. Thousands of times more light than what is on this earth. My brother and sister. And this is the way it is every day in his throne. Praise the Lord. And I continue coming close. And there I saw him. Lightning, hallelujah, piercing light was coming out of his eyes. My brother and sister, angel was serving him. Hallelujah. Seraphim on his right and left. Sheriff, all kinds of angels are there. They know he says their Lord who made them. And they serve him, my brother and sister. And there goes me, this man made of bones. Hallelujah. Out of the dust of the earth, with great fear and trembling in me. My leg was shaking, approaching the great throne. But I knew that I had to go there. I was being led there by his spirit, by his presence. I could not turn left or right. I knew I had to continue to go straight. And there was a strong, almighty throne of Jesus. Oh, glory be to him. And out of that throne, a mighty voice, like multitude of water, began to speak to me. My servant, hallelujah. And he began to speak to me with such a powerful voice, just as his word says, Almighty God, the Son of God, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. And everything I'm doing today is what he has said to me from the past. He knows. He talks about the past, the future from the past. He got the whole world in his hand. He got the whole wide world in his hand. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. When I had all that fear, Lord, what do I do next? What do you want me to preach next? To whom will you have me talk to, Lord? He has said to me, don't worry, my son. I'm going to bring my children to you. I have special children that I'm going to bring to you. Teach them what I have taught you. Share with them my revelation, he says. Bow my head. Yes, Lord. He has said this to me several times. Fear not, because I am in control, he says. Hallelujah. Go do what I tell you to do, he has said. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Before he speaks, everyone is quiet in heaven. Before Father and Jesus speak, there could be worshiping, there can be anything going on, but everyone quiets down completely. Shut. Quiet. It's like when you put your TV on mute, completely quiet. That's how it's heaven when Father's going to speak in the Lord. And we all remain quiet, his creation. And he speaks. And when he speaks, it's all wisdom. Oh, he is pure wisdom. He is pure knowledge. Thank you, Lord. Every word comes with such a great wisdom. His word is eternal. And everything he says, he fulfills. In everything he fulfills, he says, my brother and sister, there's nothing out of his control. Nothing. Nothing. How many times he have brought me to him and he said, fear not, my son. And I'm there afraid. When I'm thinking, what am I going to say? What am I going to preach? I remember I had not preached for 2 weeks on the Lord's Hour in Spanish. 2 weeks. Praise the Lord. And he brought me to talk with him, to have a talk with me. He says, this is what I want you to preach to them in Spanish. And he gave me a word. My brother and sister. A lot of people got touched by the word and said, it was so powerful, Brother Elvie. A lot of time when he using me and I'm speaking from him, not necessarily I keep record of every word people think I do. No. I had to go back and listen. And I hear the word. I said, that came out of my mouth. I didn't know. Praise you, Lord Jesus Almighty. Thank you, Lord. Right when I think I already have too many revelation of him, too many trip to heaven, the millennium, the great tribulation, I remember saying, I said here in the Lord Tower, I remember years ago, not too long ago, about 2 years, I said, I don't want to be taken to hell anymore. I think I already seen much of hell. And I remember that following weeks, a few days after, Jesus taking me to hell again. Oh, no. Oh, no. In hell, I didn't want to go in. I was in the entrance of hell, and I can see everything of hell that I seen before. And Jesus was there with me, standing, speaking with me. My son, be not afraid. I want you to go in there and share with my children what you see, he says. I said, Lord, no, my son. Go. Go, my son. I said, yes, I have no choice. He knew I didn't want to go in anymore. My brother and sister, the suffering of the people in hell is not easy to see and talk about because they have no hope. Their torment goes on and on. My brother and sister, it's terrible to see them, especially people you knew. Even people that mocked me years ago that said I was crazy, that I was not a prophet, that I was not of God. They're there, a lot of them. Not all of them, but a lot of them. And to see them in that torment, yeah, I can't say to them, you see, was I right or was I wrong? I can't even say that to them. I don't have the heart to say that to them. I just see them in the torment. And I understand that I'm thankful to the Lord that I'm not there. That by his grace and mercy, my brother and sister are not going to end up there. I asked Father in heaven when he took me to the garden of Adam and Eve in heaven. I always wanted to see that garden. I heard about it for a long time. But I wanted to see it. And I remember asking the Lord one of the last trips up there and that garden. The Lord, the Father, was there. Where mighty cherub, 99 feet cherub, next to Father. And I asked the Lord in heaven to promise me that I will come to that place. And the Lord said, I promise you, you'll come to this place. And Father said, I promise you, my son, you'll come to this place. And the witness are true, a marriage established. I don't trust myself. I don't trust anybody else. I only trust Jesus and Father God. My brother and sister, it's too wicked down here. It's too evil. You need to understand. Don't trust yourself. Many of you think that you can trust yourself. Be ye not deceived. Trust only Jesus who died for you on the cross. And he will. He will get you to heaven by your good deeds. Your knowledge from earth is not going to get you there. Jesus will get you there for what he did on the cross.
So we see that God is calling the nations to come against Babylon.
Well, I've been studying China itself and U.S.-China relations for the last 35 years. And I've been a diplomat in the past. I've been foreign minister, prime minister, and dealt with China and the U.S. a lot. It's the first time I've become really worried about the real prospect of armed conflict between these two, probably over Taiwan.
We know today that there is a coalition of nations that are becoming hostile toward the United States. We see that going on in China. They're helping Russia against the United States.
The Heritage Foundation, who just produced their annual index of military analysis of the Chinese military and the United States and our allies, indicates, you take the category, ships, airplanes, missiles, defense missiles, you name the category, and the Chinese outgun us. What that means is we don't have the deterrence that we used to have. We are in a very dangerous situation, because if we got into a war with China, we can lose. And every war game we play tells us the same thing. And I was just involved in one a few weeks ago. This is a very dangerous situation that we're presenting to the American people, because
wow,
we are incentivizing President Xi to take action.
Even in France, there is a rising protest, and their focus is on NATO. And if their focus is on NATO, they're protesting against the United States. We see that going on in Turkey. We see Europe, and now they're talking about civil war. We see Iran and Venezuela. News came out that they are capping their portion of the global oil supply.
We could be at a pivotal moment in Iran. Shouldn't we put the nuclear deal on hold for a moment and maybe say something about the strength of the Iranian people and align with the people there? But we haven't heard anything from this administration in that regard.
The Saudis just came out and made a very derogatory statement against the United States, in particular, our current president, President Biden.
Anybody that challenges the existence of this country and this kingdom, all of us, we are projects of jihad
and martyrdom.
That's my message to anybody that thinks that he can threaten us.
The administration has blown the relationship with Saudi Arabia. When you call them an international pariah in the first month of the administration, you reach out to the Saudis, you reach out to the Iranians and try to make a deal with them, when the Saudis,
right,
and all the Arabs and the Israelis are saying no, and then you stop a major arms shipment in the first month of the administration that the Saudis have already paid for, and you're stopping the shipment. That poisoned the relationship right then.
The mighty men of Babylon have for bone to fight. They have remained in their holds. Their might hath failed. They became as women.
Here we are watching the Pentagon unable to get recruits. We're down in terms of people wanting to go into the military. Here we are looking at our Navy, which you have been raising the red flag on now for at least 2 years, because we are outgunned.
President Xi, this week on Sunday, he said that reunification is coming and we will not rule out force if it's necessary.
Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon, for your days of sitting on a throne have ended.
We'll be right back.
know also that in the last days perilous times shall come.
Greetings in the precious, lovely, exalted, holy name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. And welcome to another End Times for the Believers Bible Prophecy Update. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. It is with the following portion of Scripture that our Lord Jesus gives us the background of this statement made by the Apostle Paul regarding the dire circumstances of that day when he says, and they shall not escape. It's in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21, the Olivet Discourse. Each of them begin with the following statement, but woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles unto the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. That is the day the Lord Jesus is referencing where Paul said, they shall not escape. Continuing on in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 4, but ye brethren are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day, and we are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. It was 2 years ago approximately when the Lord, through a series of providential events, which I might say were quite drastic, spoke to our evangelistic team, Sheepsong Ministries, and to my heart in particular, that it was time to change our direction and that there was to be a renewed focus upon that very subject that was upon my heart virtually 4.5 decades, the subject of the last days. But this time, the Lord placed it upon my heart. It was time to sound the alarm, and to do so because we, he said, are not in darkness. We are not children of the night, but we are children of the light, children of the day, not of the night, nor of darkness. And so the Lord was underscoring that very point to my heart and stating, my people are not a people to be enslaved by ignorance or darkness or prophetic ignorance. And that is the burden that has been upon our hearts for the past 2+ years. Would you please join with me for a moment in prayer? Heavenly Father, as you well know, my heart even now is crying out to you for the power, the glory, the graciousness of the Holy Spirit to employ this vessel of clay, not for my own selfish reasons, not for any purposes of pride or arrogance, but for the purpose of the seriousness of this moment. I know, Lord, that today there are thousands that will listen and watch today's program. And I understand in my heart that some of them are on their way to hell and they need to hear the gospel. And there are others, Lord, that I recognize and sense even now the burden that they are in need of encouragement. And there are still others that are lukewarm, and even more that are prodigals. And so, Lord, I cry out to you with my brethren, speak, Lord, your word, even through the frailties of my own self, and I recognize there are many. May you communicate the truth. May you grant us such understanding. You said that your people perish for lack of knowledge. Lord, let there be no one that perishes as a result of this today's message. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen. And so again, the Lord states there that in the last days, there would be a period of time that would be contrasted between light and darkness, and that the circumstances of the world would be likened unto a woman pregnant, ready, a woman travailing unto the birth of a child. And the Lord Jesus said, and they shall not escape. It's going to be just like that. All of a sudden, the birth pains begin to come, and they become more and more frequent and more intense. That doesn't go away. That is a universal law of physics. Once the process begins, everything else is inevitable. A child is going to be born, is going to come forth. And it has been with this understanding that we have been ministering the prophetic word of God for this past 2 years, not addressing the idea that there is going to be better days ahead, not for a lack of desire. We would to be able to share a message that is just uplifting and that everything is going to be okay. The reality is, from a worldview perspective, everything is not going to be okay. As a matter of fact, it is going to get worse and worse, and incredibly so, almost unimaginably worse. However, we are not children of the dark, that day would come upon us unaware. But to the contrary, God has given to us, prophetically speaking, understanding, so that the things that are happening today, though they press us hard and move our souls oftentimes with sorrow and even fearfulness and trepidation, but we know in our hearts, the Lord told us this is how it would be in the last days. He said it would be perilous. Perilous times shall come. There is so much scripture, prophetically speaking, Old Testament and New Testament alike, that give us descriptive detail of the day in which we are living. And so that has been our message through these past 2 years. Unlike some who are supposed apostles and prophets, and God knows their hearts. But to give a message that tickles the ear, that is dangerous. And by God's grace, we are not going to fall into that trap. We are going to speak the truth. We're going to do so in love. And so when they say peace and safety, the scripture tells us, sudden destruction will come upon them. It is my personal belief, my strong inward conviction, that the they is in fact Israel, the people of God. It is a prophetic statement that is addressed to Israel in the last days. And so my first point in this message is in respect to Israel itself. I would title this segment, Israel et al. Soon, and I believe very soon, the eyes of the world are going to shift away from Ukraine and Russia, and it is going to become fixed upon the Middle East. And not only the Middle East, but more specifically, the nation of Israel, and even more specific, Jerusalem itself. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 2, we read, "Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem." And so I see on the immediate prophetic horizon, taking the prophetic telescope, if you will, and I see the world looking at this very nation. And there is going to come a point where this nation is going to cause tremendous trouble and anguish of all the other nations, because God said it would happen that way. And I do believe, and will not present this as written in stone, but it seems to me, based upon my understanding of Bible prophecy, that a likely scenario that we might be looking at is that once the eyes of the world gets off of nation of Ukraine and Russia and looks to the Middle East, it is going to do so at least in part towards Damascus. And we know that there is coming a time where Russia will be called upon by God himself through events, through divine providence, and they will themselves redirect their military might into this land. Now, today, Iran is beholden, or should I say Russia is actually beholden to Iran, and they have made, that is Iran, a recent significant contribution to Russia's war chest, helping them in their war against Ukraine and really their war against NATO. They have transported to them unmanned aerial vehicles, and they call it the kamikaze drones. And these particular drones are becoming quite formidable in Russia's effort to overwhelm Ukraine in terms of these drones that are weaponized. And we're beginning to hear about these drones, and again, coming from the nation of Iran.
Security Council will meet in an open session today to discuss claims by the U.S. and its allies that Russia is using Iranian-made drones to attack Ukraine. American officials say that they have evidence that Russia used kamikaze drones this week to attack civilian and vital infrastructure targets. They're also claiming that Iranian troops are in Crimea helping Russian troops launch those drones.
And as Russia continues those airstrikes this morning, both sides are preparing for a likely battle over control of the key southern city of Kherson. Meanwhile, Russian TV showed President Vladimir Putin visiting recently drafted soldiers training to fight. Holly Williams is in Kyiv with more on President Vladimir Zelensky's claims that Russia is plotting a large-scale disaster in Ukraine. Holly, good morning.
Good morning. Yes, President Zelensky claims that Russia is planning to blow up a dam in southern Ukraine and has already laid mines. He says it would impact hundreds of thousands of people and could even leave a nuclear power plant without water for cooling. Russian state TV showed Vladimir Putin visiting a training base for mobilized troops, trying out a new sniper rifle for himself. The U.S. says it has information that troops from Iran are on the ground supporting Russian drone attacks here in Ukraine. The Ukrainian government claims that Russia's ordered nearly 2,500 so-called kamikaze drones from Iran.
And so what could trigger the shifting of our eyes? And that would be in part because Russia is becoming beholden to Iran, and it may very well be that at some point in the near future, Israel is going to have no choice in the matter, but is going to produce or engage in a preemptive strike against Iran. Iran, as we know, is a sworn enemy against Israel and has never changed in terms of its hatred and animosity toward this tiny little nation. And it may very well be that that Iran is going to come to a point where it's obvious to Israel nuclear elements are going to be engaged against Israel. Now, we know that already Iran is a formidable foe against Israel, and that Iran's proxies, such as Hezbollah and Hamas, they now possess more advanced, smart weapons that are representing a serious threat in themselves to the nation of Israel. And Israel will no longer be able to become unscathed by a serious attack. They know, the people of Israel and Israel's defense understands, that once a war ensues between them and Iran, or in terms of through their proxies, that there is going to be some major casualties. Even with all the advanced weaponry and missile defense systems that Israel already possesses, there are hundreds of thousands of missiles that are now pointed at Israel. And so here we have this dynamic. We have Iran engaging in and cultivating a relationship with Russia. And now at some point in time, it could be that Israel is going to be forced to take this preemptive move against Iran, which will end up basically in Damascus. And Damascus is where all the gathering of Iran's military might is concerned, mainly in terms of with Hezbollah. And again, they are loaded to the gills with missiles and powerful weaponry. And so what does the Bible tell us about this possible, what I believe to be likely scenario? In Jeremiah chapter 49, beginning in verse 23, we read something about Damascus. Concerning Damascus, verse 23, Hamath is confounded and Arpad, for they have heard evil tidings. They are faint-hearted. There is sorrow on the sea. It cannot be quiet. Damascus is waxed feeble and turneth herself to flee, and fear hath seized on her. Anguish and sorrows have taken her. There's this next phrase again, as a woman in travail. Verse 25 of Jeremiah 49. How is the city of praise not left? The city of my joy, she's been wiped out. Therefore her young men shall fall in her streets, and all the men of war shall be cut off in that day, saith the Lord of hosts. And I will kindle a fire in the wall of Damascus, and it shall consume the palaces of Ben-Hadad. In Isaiah chapter 17 and verse 1, once again, the subject of Damascus, the burden of Damascus, behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall be a ruinous heap. Now, we understand that Damascus is one, if not the longest standing city up until today. It has a history of some 4,000 years. Some of the very roads, the brick roads, go back way before the time of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it has never ceased from being a city. But Isaiah tells us there is coming a point when Damascus will cease from being a city. And in Isaiah chapter 17, which is a most ominous statement here, verse 14, it says, and behold, at evening tide trouble, and before the morning he is not. In other words, Damascus is wiped out. This is the portion of them that spoil us and the lot of them that rob us. I believe this is going to take place soon, very soon, actually. And I believe it is going to be inserted alongside the timeline of Babylon, and that this event is going to take place before the total annihilation and destruction of Babylon itself. And so I want to carry on over to this point here of Babylon itself. And as we read in the next chapter of chapter 50 of Jeremiah, where God begins to address the very subject of Babylon and his intent to pour his wrath upon Babylon, the daughter of Babylon, and I believe also the mystery Babylon, and that they are joined together. I will make a point in that regard in just a moment. And so we have Israel, and we have the Middle East in an uproar, and we have Damascus, and we have Iran, and at the same time, we have God dealing with Babylon in the last days. Now, we know this matter of Jeremiah 50 and 51 dealing with the destruction of Babylon was partly fulfilled during that period of time. However, there are some statements in this chapter, chapter 50, verse 19, for example, that gives us a timeline that underscores the fact that this Babylon is going to be dealt with by God at this time in which we live. And it points once again to Israel. Verse 19, and I will bring Israel again to his habitation, and he shall feed all on Carmel and Bashan, and his soul shall be satisfied upon Mount Ephraim and Gilead. Verse 20, in those days and in that time, therein is the prophetic timeline. What is going to happen in those days? In those days, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none, and the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found, for I will pardon them whom I reserve. And so we see that Babylon will be dealt with by God at the general time that the Middle East will at some point become on fire. And again, based upon history, we know part was fulfilled, but not all, because of verses 19 and 20 in those days. At the time when Israel is gathered again back into her homeland and ultimately results in God pardoning Israel for her sin. And so this is what we might call a prophetic dualism, a double meaning in Bible prophecy. Now in Zechariah chapter 13 verses 8 and 9, we see here the point that why all these things are happening. And I read beginning in verse 8. And it shall come to pass that in the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and I will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. That is the portion of Israel for the last days. And then we have in juxtaposition the world. And so we have Israel, God dealing with Israel. He states in Zechariah that two-thirds of Israel will end up being killed, will die. And one-third of Israel will survive and will recognize that Jesus is the Messiah, and they will call out to him. Literally, they will say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," speaking of Christ himself. Once they rejected, they said he was not coming in the name of the Lord. Now they realize he indeed is the Messiah, the one that they pierced, and they will see him whom they pierced, and they will be broken up inside, and they will feel like they lost their only, their firstborn child. So these are the general outline dealings prophetically of God with the nation of Israel. And by the way, that represents two-thirds, several million people. And we'll talk more about that in the future. Two-thirds will die. One-third will go through the fire. Thus we have the day that Jesus said, "Woe unto those people, for great wrath shall be upon that people." And one-third will survive. The second point, the world in general. And again, as I just noted here, the world and Israel in juxtaposition. The position. And once we see, and for, let's look at Isaiah 24, which speaks prophetically, actually Isaiah chapters 24, 25, and 26. But Isaiah 24, verse 1, we read the following. "Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof." And so we are witnessing today the very fact that God is turning the world upside down, and that, of course, is metaphorical, it is figurative, but everything is being turned upside down. And we know that God is dealing with mystery Babylon in Jeremiah 50 and 51. So I would like to characterize this second section here as under this title here, if I may, Babylon the Beautiful. My caption here, Babylon the Beautiful. And that is because those of you that have been following our ministry for some time now know that it is my inclination, my sense before the Lord, that the strong preponderance of evidence that the Bible gives us regarding Babylon points to the United States of America. And today I am even more convinced of that than before. It seems that so many similarities regarding what is happening in the world and the place of the United States of America that are just becoming evidentiary. It's evidence that demands a verdict. For example, in Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 27, it says, "Slay all her bullocks." This is God's judging the last day Babylon. "Let them go down to the slaughter." Now, those of you that are watching the events that are taking place regarding our nation in particular, and because of the drought, and there's much we can say about the drought today, but the reality is there is, in fact, a drought. Texas and is itself having to, of necessity, slaughter their cattle because they don't have enough grain and there's not enough water, and the drought is causing it to where they can no longer sustain the cattle. And I was going to talk much about that today, but because there are other materials, I want to get to something amazing here in just a moment. So please, please stick with me. But I'm not going to be able to develop that point, only to say, here's one of the similarities. It says that they're going to slay all their bullocks, and then they'll go down to the slaughter. "Woe unto them, for their day is come, the time of their visitation." This Babylon, the Bible says, they are going to have to prematurely slay all their bullocks and let them go to the slaughter prematurely because of drought. And Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 38 states there that drought is upon her waters. Now remember, I'm just giving you a couple other points of so many which point to Babylon and the United States. And please don't just turn me off. I have something to share today regarding Babylon, the United States of America, and the 10 kings that I personally am amazed to consider this new possible scenario. And I'm going to address in a moment what I believe to be a sequence to the 10 kings. And so please be with me for a moment. And they're talking right now in Texas. They're expecting that ground beef could go up as high as $50 a pound in the not too distant future in 2023, if not sooner. Well, it's got to be 2023 sometime, but soon. And $50 a pound. And of course, the Bible tells us that there will be super inflation in the last days and that there will be famine. But here God is speaking specifically of Babylon, and he states there that there is drought upon her waters. And there's another interesting portion of scripture in Jeremiah 51, verses 13 and 14, regarding what's taking place in our own country. And remember, these are passages that are giving us description of Babylon, the Babylon that God is addressing in the last days. In 51, verse 13 and 14, we read the following. O thou that dwellest upon many waters, abundant in treasures, thine end is come, and the measure of thy covetousness. The Lord of hosts, verse 14, hath sworn by himself, saying, now listen to this next statement here. Surely I will fill thee with men as with caterpillars, and they shall lift up a shout against thee, will fill thee with men. He will fill the Babylon with men who will rise up against this very nation itself. I will fill thee with men, and so many that it's like caterpillars without count, being able to count. What is going on today at our borders? Most of you understand right now that one of the major concerns that most of us have is that those that are coming into our country are young men of fighting age. And the Bible tells us that in the last days, one of the specific judgments upon Babylon is going to be that God is going to fill the land with young men. It's amazing that these things are given to us, and who else could fit that description but the United States of America?
We just want to reach our destination. These people here will not stop until they reach their goal to achieve a dream that all of us who are walking want to attain. If we need to walk all day and night until we reach the end, we will do it.
We ask Joe Biden to give us an opportunity because we deserve it.
Venezuelans now account for roughly half of all migrants traveling through Latin America. And more than 7 million are estimated to be living as migrants and refugees.
And so, again, I find this compelling, and I am just taken back by so many different statements in terms of Jeremiah 50 and 51 in Babylon and how it just coincides with the United States of America. But now let me bring up another point pertaining to the 10 kings, the kings which we know, according to Revelation, they have no kingdom. And so we understand in Revelation, in Revelation chapter 17 and 18, their mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman in Revelation 17, I saw the woman drunken with the blood of saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Father, please help me to share this next point, because I know it is new, and it is at least for me. And I can tend to just move on in one monotone, and I don't want your people to miss this, Lord. So for that reason, I've just paused here, and I'm asking you to help me to just take a moment and to share this in such a way that your people will see something as I have seen just very, very recently. Now, going back to Jeremiah chapter 51, verses 27 and 29, I want to lay the groundwork here regarding the 10 kings. Verse 27, again, this is God speaking prophetically through Jeremiah regarding Babylon. It says, set ye up a standard in the land, blow the trumpet among the nations, key term there, prepare the nations against her, call together against her the kingdoms of Ararat, and it goes on in verse 28, prepare against her the nations with the kings of Medes, etc. So we see that God is calling the nations to come against Babylon. We know today that there is a coalition of nations that are becoming hostile toward the United States and NATO, but specifically the United States. Even in France today, there is a rising protest, and their focus is on NATO. And if their focus is on NATO, they're protesting against the United States. We see that going on in Turkey, China. They're helping Russia against the United States. We see Europe, and now they're talking about civil war, and they're looking at NATO as being responsible. We see just today, Iran and Venezuela news came out that they are capping their portion of the global oil supply. This is an offense against the United States. We know just recently the Saudis just came out and made a very derogatory statement against the United States, in particular our current president, President Biden. Take a look at this.
When the House and Senate gets back, they're going to have to, there's going to be some consequences for what they've done with Russia. I'm not going to get into what I consider and what I have in mind, but there will be consequences.
Anybody that challenges the existence of this country and this kingdom, all of us, we are projects of jihad
and martyrdom.
That's my message to anybody that thinks that he can threaten us.
Saudi prince sends threat to the West after Biden warns of consequences for kingdom. Saudi prince warned the kingdom is the project of jihad and martyrdom. A Saudi prince related to Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman seemingly took aim at President Biden and the U.S., warning leaders not to threat Saudi Arabia. Anybody that challenges the existence of this country and this kingdom, all of us, we are products of jihad and martyrdom, Saudi Prince Saud al-Shalan.
And so now let us compare these portions of scripture in Jeremiah that speak of Babylon with Revelation chapter 17, verses 16 and 18. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast. Now, we're in a moment going to be looking at the 10 kings. The 10 horns, which are the 10 kings. The 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore. Now, this is amazing stuff right here. These shall hate the whore. Who is the whore? The whore is Babylon. They shall hate the war and shall make her desolate and naked and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Why? Verse 17, for God hath put it in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. Verse 18, and the woman which thou sawest is that great city. Now we see it's a great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. So what we are being told here in Revelation chapter 17 is that the kings, the 10 kings, God is placing it within their hearts to hate the woman. Or more specifically, it speaks of the woman as representative of the great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Now, who is this whore? 17 verses 4 through 6. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. This statement here in verse 6 is one that I have struggled with, and up until recently, it caused me to question whether or not this mystery Babylon spoken of here, this mother of harlots, was in fact a reference to the United States and more focused on a great city. But after the introduction of COVID and the government prescribed treatments, and now the information that is emerging, and there becoming a strong worldwide recognition that there is a quiet genocide and that there is a diabolical effort to control the world and to reduce the world population. This is no new revelation. This is information that is readily available on various different sources, whether it be alternative media or mainstream media. These statements are coming out today that there appears to be an effort to reduce world population. And so this verse here states that this woman is drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. There are some who tell us now millions have died because of this effort, this diabolical effort. And there is the possibility of it going beyond millions, even into the billions. There are things coming up right now regarding this very subject matter that we certainly cannot elaborate on today. But I trust that those of you that are doing your homework know that we are indeed living in the last days. There is a concerted effort to spill the blood of the saints. We understand that Christians themselves are a focus regarding this here world system that is rejecting the things of God, and they're perpetrating a quiet genocide. And so could we say that maybe, in fact, we as a nation, as potentially Mystery Babylon, are at least complicit in this diabolical scheme of darkness that is intended to kill off the masses? I think evidence is becoming more and more convincing that there is being perpetrated great deaths. And going on, who are these kings? In verse 12, we read there, and the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Now what does verse 17 say? It says, for God hath put it in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and to give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. So God has placed this desire, this hatred in the hearts of these 10 kings. Now, I don't think the 10 kings recognize they are spoken of right now in Revelation, though they are undoubtedly, from my perspective, walking the earth and for the most part are very familiar with those who have information regarding the events that are taking place. But these 10 kings, the Bible tells us, are working against the whore of Babylon. And what is happening right now of these different nations in this confederacy of nations that are looking at the United States as being the object of great hatred. They are doing what they can to destroy this nation. Could it be that we are seeing the shadow of these very points, that these 10 kings, though they may not recognize who they are specifically as recorded in the Word of God, are exerting a power, a governmental power right now, and directing great efforts to destroy this nation? I think so. And verse 16, chapter 18, it speaks of this Babylon being destroyed and saying, alas, alas, the great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. Verse 17, for in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught, and every shipmaster and all the company in ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? Need I say what my view is in terms of this great city? I know that there were those who thought this was Rome, representative of Roman Catholicism, and in fact that these kings were going to turn on against the Pope. But the Bible tells us that the false prophet will be at the side of the Antichrist unto the very end. And at the very end, the Lord is going to have his angels cast both the false prophet and Antichrist together simultaneously in the lake of fire. So who is it that this great city represents? I believe it is the city that is reigning over the kingdoms, and that city is none other than New York City, where there resides the United Nations, which rules over the nations of the world. This great city, the Bible tells us, will have its day. All of the judgment of God will fall upon her. It says, therefore shall her plagues, verse 8 of Revelation 18, therefore shall her plagues come in 1 day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. Revelation 18, verse 21, and a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea. This again is against Babylon, saying, thus with violence shall that great city of Babylon, that great city of Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And so we see the judgment results in the fire. There is very possible nuclear effects going on right here. And then what happens after that? An angel steps up. So we see the city is burning. Then an angel casts a great millstone into the sea. And with violence, it says that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more. And so following the burning, there is the sea just rising above it and flooding it out. Could this be the result of a engineered gigantic tidal wave or tsunami? We understand that Russia today has employed a unmanned nuclear submarine that has such nuclear capabilities that it can produce a 1,700-foot high rush of water. They call it the Poseidon. There's just too many things coming together. And so what else does it say? This is, follow me in this right here. This is amazing. Verse 22, Revelation 18, it says, and the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. Now, for those of you that have ever visited the city of New York, they have musicians in all the different corners. There are different people playing saxophones and violins and guitars and trumpets and all manner of instruments in various different parts of the city, playing and hoping to gain some financial contribution, but it's unlike any other city. I've been there. I've seen it. And the Bible tells us that this city, the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And listen to this. The voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. Who is the bridegroom and the bride? It is the church. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. The bride and the bridegroom, that voice shall be heard no more in that city. Why? Because she has been burned, possibly through nuclear war, through the effects of nuclear weaponry, maybe even by Russia, maybe by China, maybe by both. We've talked about that. The scenario is becoming more and more likely as time progresses. And it simply says, none of these things will be found in the city anymore. First it burns, and then it is overwhelmed with the rising of the sea. And we happen to have both in place right now, pointing to this nation and to this city itself. And what does it say? Listen to this. At the end of verse 23, for thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries, listen to that word, by their sorceries were all nations deceived. This Babylon, through Babylon's sorceries, have deceived the nations. And the word sorceries, for those of you who know your Bible, you know the word there, the Greek word is pharmakeia. It is speaking, number one, of the use of drugs, potions, and enchantments. That's what this word means, sorceries. Babylon is guilty, according to this text, of deceiving the world through pharmakeia. Pharmakeia being defined as the use of drugs, potions, and enchantments. Or number two, poisoning. Pharmacy. Poisoning. This comes right from the Greek. Number three, by extension, it speaks of the cult, the occult, witchcraft, as giving control to demons in exchange for momentary, though treacherous, benefit. And listen to verse four. And by suggestion or proposition, the remedy, the cure. It's amazing. This is totally amazing. By suggestion, this word means, or proposition, it means the remedy or the cure. So this nation, Babylon, which God has moved upon the 10 kings, these other individuals who shall receive power for an hour but have no kingdoms as of yet, that's one of the reasons why God is judging Babylon, is because of her sorceries. And her sorceries are the use of drugs, potions, and enchantments. Number two, poisoning. Number three, by extension, the occult, witchcraft, is giving control to demons, etc. And number four, by suggestion or proposition, it means the remedy or the cure. And in her was found the blood of prophets and saints and all that were slain upon the earth. A quiet genocide, indeed. The conclusion, can I say these things are written in stone? Of course not. Are they possible? Yes. For me, they are likely, and as time progresses, more probable. What we do know is this, is God has promised his people a way of escape in these last days. Though these prophetic scenarios that we've just presented are themselves not written in stone, as time progresses, they're becoming more and more likely and realistic. But what we know for certain is that the Bible says we have not been appointed unto wrath. That wrath is speaking specifically in that text, the day of the Lord. Each day, along with other watchers, and those of you who follow us, and most of you are like-minded, you are seeing what we are seeing. The events that are transpiring in the world today, they are very difficult to grasp and to even think of. It's almost unimaginable, some of the things that are being perpetrated against humanity in these last days. You might want to check the movie out, and I'll not say too much about it, but it has to do with the real Dr. Fauci, and it is presented by a former president's relative. And there the scripture tells us that in the last days, perilous times will come. And so we see these things as we're watching, and they can be most troubling. But God says we are not children of the darkness. He does not want that day to come upon us unexpectedly. And so for me and our team here at Cheap Song Ministry, which mainly consists of my wife, my daughter Danielle, and my son-in-law Kevin, and there are others from time to time that help us, but we focus on we look into the abyss. And if it were not for the light that we are able to expose our hearts to, we would become crippled by sorrow and depression, mentally, emotionally, even spiritually. But we have that light that shines in our hearts. And that light, the Bible tells us, is a person. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And that person, indeed, has a name. It is the name that we know is above every name. It is a glorious name indeed. We speak of it in our opening remarks, every one of our updates. And those of you who join with me and with us each week, you know that name. More importantly, you know the person that that name represents. It is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. At that name, the very demons of hell, they tremble. When the name of Jesus is spoken, darkness must flee. In the midst of heartache and suffering and hopelessness, it is the name of Jesus that brings hope to the hopeless. And the message of that name, of that person of light, it is capsulized in a specific symbol. And that symbol, which speaks of volumes of the very person of God, is the symbol of the cross. And so what we know in these last days that we can say is written in stone, and indeed, at one time it was written in stone, it is the message of the cross. It is the message of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who for us, his hands were pierced with nails and his feet pierced with nail and his head pierced with a crown of thorns and his face beaten beyond recognition, so that we might understand and not have any room for doubt whatsoever, that regardless of what is going on in the world today, there is one who loves us so much that he endured the cross and despised the shame. And the word that I believe God would have me to conclude today's presentation is the incarnate word. It is the word of God made flesh. It is the name of Jesus. It is the message of the cross. So that when the enemy comes in against you like a flood, and some of you of late have been feeling the weight and the overwhelming negative and tribulation of those floods, the name of Jesus will lift you up, because that name represents the fact that God loves you I want to say that one more time, and I don't want to say it in a quick way. I want to say it, but I pray the Lord make it real to her. He loves you. You are not alone. He is with you. He is in you, and he is with you, unless you have not been born again. And he is coming soon. And he has suffered beyond measure because he is faithful. He is faithful to the Father, and he is faithful to that which the Father loves, because he came to save that which was lost. He loves you, and there ought to be no shadow of doubt regarding that reality. It is he who took and takes his own precious blood and washes away all the stain of sin, sin and its stain. We may not feel it, we don't see it, but it's not there for us to feel it. It is not there for us to see it. It is there for God, our thrice holy God, to see it and to feel it in his own heart. He knows that we have been clothed, first washed with the precious blood of the Lamb, and then we are clothed. Our nakedness is clothed with the perfect righteousness of the Word become flesh. We are the righteousness of God. He is the Lord, our righteousness. Are you hearing me today? We are living in dark times. Oh, the Lord knows. But we have the light. And he would not have us to walk in darkness, because we are children of the light. We are children of the Most High God. And so rejoice. The Lord has given to us the promise that we are not appointed unto wrath. He came the first time, as he said, and he's coming again soon, I believe, and very soon. But there are some of you today. You are on your way to a place that no one can describe in its true degree of evil and heartache and suffering. It is a place that was originally prepared for the devil and his angels. And sadly, there are billions there right now who would do anything to have the choice and chance that you have right now. They recall the many times when they could have made their lives right by simply accepting the gift of God by faith, but they rejected, and now there is no more time. This may be your last time. I don't know who you are, but I know you're out there. There are thousands and thousands these days, 10, 15, 20 every week on our Facebook, which is our main following. Those of you who follow us and see on Facebook, huge numbers, 20,000, 30,000. For us, that's major. But then there are those single individuals, such as the person I'm talking to right now, you, sir. You, ma'am, you, young lady, you, young man, you, child, you know in your heart that God loves you and that there's something in you that separates you from God. It's called sin. And I'm going to give you a chance right now to get that sin washed away and to get in return for your unrighteousness the perfect righteousness of Jesus by saying this prayer with me. Would you repeat this prayer with me and please mean it from your heart? Say the following. Dear Heavenly Father, today I come to you by faith. I open my heart at this time and I humbly confess to you that I have sinned. I have lived a life of sin. I have done things that I am so ashamed of. I have hurt people. But today I'm asking you for forgiveness. I'm asking you to take the blood of Jesus and with his blood, please wash away all my sins. because I believe in my heart that you sent Jesus to this world to die for my sins. I believe furthermore that on the third day, according to scriptures, he rose from the grave and is now seated at your right hand. And because he rose from the grave, I can now have forgiveness of sins. And so this day, I confess that Jesus is Lord. I believe that he died for my sins. And I open my heart this day, and I invite you to come into my life by your Holy Spirit. I belong to you. Do with me as you choose, dear Lord, and help me to live for you from this day forward and forever. Amen. My, oh my, the time goes by so quickly. I hope that you will be blessed by the song that my daughter and I are going to sing. There is an anointing that falls upon us, and we know and we see, hearing from you guys, there's such blessing that comes when we sing together as a father and a daughter. And this song that we're about to sing has anointing with it, and may it bless you. It underscores the very message that we've talked about today.
As I was praying yesterday morning and making declarations about what the Lord had already spoken through his prophets, the Lord said this to me. He said, they are planning on taking down the power grid in the Northeast. And I said, who are they, Lord? And he said, the ones who are trying to take over your country. The Lord said, pray against this. And he said, the reason they have chosen the Northeast is because it is the highest concentration of people in a smaller area. And he said, their plan is to blame Russia for this. So after I received this message, this is a scripture that came to me as I was praying, because these evil ones cannot figure out how we know their plans in advance. In 2 Kings 6, chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. Now, just because they are planning this and the Lord has revealed their plans, we should not just sit back and wait for it to happen. No, the Lord said we are to pray against this wicked act. Can our prayers stop this thing from happening? Absolutely, or the Lord would not have told us to pray against it. So here is how I am praying. I'm saying, in the name of Yahushua, Jesus, I declare, even as they speak the words of taking down the power grid, their words will fall to the ground. Even as they plan on taking down the power grid, their plans will fall to the ground. Even as they try to execute taking down the power grid, their execution will fall to the ground. Every step they try to take against the power grid in the Northeast will result in failure and fall to the ground in the name of Yahushua. So I want to leave you with this scripture, which is what I painted on the prophetic peak picture that you've been looking at. And the painting revolves around Revelation 8, verses 3 and 4. Then another angel having a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angels' hands. So let us offer up our prayers so that they rise to the throne of God, and this thing that the wicked has planned will fall to the ground. Amen and amen.
Greetings, brothers and sisters. God bless each and every one of you today. Hope everybody's doing well. Again, if you are subscribed to this channel, we are watching for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope in the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming soon, and we're going to be watching on this channel. Again, we are not going to set dates because we do not know when that day is, but we very clearly see that day approaching, and we will be watching on this channel until the trumpet sounds at the appointed time, and Jesus Christ comes for his church. Folks, stick with me on this video until the end. There is a few breaking stories I want to share with you that shows we are continuing to see people being conditioned to believe the lie that will be brought forth after the rapture of the church, after millions upon millions of born-again believers in Jesus Christ suddenly vanish. As we've been discussing for a while, it's going to involve aliens, UFOs, or something along those lines. It is not a coincidence that our movies, our television shows, our entertainment is filled with aliens, UFOs, the supernatural. People are obsessed with this stuff, folks. It is not a coincidence that alien abduction reports are skyrocketing all over the world. It is not a coincidence that UFO sightings are skyrocketing. It is not a coincidence that militaries around the world are coming out at this particular time and releasing declassified footage of UFO encounters. It is not a coincidence that the United States Congress has recently said that UFOs are a national security threat. You know, what actually prompted me to do this video today, I was actually at breakfast this morning with some family members, and at breakfast, they were asking me, hey, did you see what was on the news the other day? It was all about how the UFO sightings are skyrocketing around the world and are trying to figure out what's going on. So at breakfast, they're bringing up how this was on the news. And then I get sent a bunch of articles from you guys on some of the recent stuff going on. But anyways, I'm talking at breakfast about this, and then I get a sister in Christ that actually sends me this video, which actually was just on the news.
Yeah, well, it is a big morning. So we're going to begin with the story that's getting a lot of buzz this morning, a rise in reports of UFOs, unidentified flying objects. Several pilots lately have reported seeing objects that they cannot explain flying over the U.S. and off the coast. So we have NBC's Gotti Schwartz. He's following the story for us this morning. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Yeah, ever since we started covering UFOs seriously, I get a ton of weird reports, a lot of very blurry video. Usually it's SpaceX satellites or something explainable. But whatever seems to be going on right now in the sky in the direction of the Big Dipper has some experienced former fighter pilots very confused. And when they start pulling out their phones to get video of things flying above them, it's time to pay attention.
Over the last several months, there's something unexplainable appearing in the night, from the skies over Missouri to above the Pacific Ocean.
It's not a satellite, it's not a meteor.
All baffling pilots mid-flight.
I don't know what the common denominator is, but it's always at the bottom of the Big Dipper.
Mark Holsey is a former F-18 fighter pilot. This August, he was piloting a private jet off the coast of Los Angeles when he says he saw as many as seven mysterious objects appearing to fly thousands of feet above him. This is audio from that night alerting air traffic control.
Are they going out of circle? Maybe three aircraft.
Roger. Yeah, I don't know. You're not entering any military or space or anything. I'm not sure.
The clip obtained by Ben Hansen, a researcher who has spoken to dozens of pilots of commercial flights that have recently had similar encounters.
So it seems like it might be getting more frequent.
It's either getting more frequent or it's getting noticed more.
Okay, there it is.
But while no one seems to know what they're seeing, Holsey is sure these fast orbiting objects aren't satellites or any known military aircraft.
There's nothing that flies that high. So the odds of it being a military aircraft doing high G loads like that, it's impossible. It's completely impossible.
Does this phenomenon seem to be under intelligent control?
That's the only thing it could be. I mean, it's either artificial or biological.
It all comes on the heels of a congressional hearing earlier this year where intelligence officials testified for the first time ever that there were about 400 new sightings of unidentifiable objects, adding UAP reports are frequent and continuing.
No, I do not.
Okay, strange.
And this latest wave of sightings from pilots could be just the beginning.
I bet my life on it. There are many more pilots and a lot more videos that are going to come out. I know this is going to happen. I know it is.
And now Mark tells us he ended up talking to some sort of government investigator for around 45 minutes, taking his report, which included him describing what he thought was a shooting star fly down and join those other lights flying in formation. He was told his report would be included in a review by the Pentagon. Now, the Pentagon has a UAP report due to Congress by October 31st. Now, I know that's a little bit of an ironic date, but that's when they're scheduled to update lawmakers about hundreds of other unexplained sightings in the sky, as well as unexplained things happening underwater. Okay?
Underwater.
My goodness.
See, I see that report going the same way that the crate that held Raiders of the Lost Ark, the Ark of the Covenant, into that giant warehouse, and we never see it.
Never again.
No.
Fingers crossed we get answers.
Gotti, thank you.
Thank you, Gotti.
You're doing such a great job on this beat. I mean, what do we think?
I know what you think.
You know what I think. Yeah.
I absolutely
do. So you don't think it's like human existence, but there's some kind of like a life.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And like I was just saying, you know how we're trying to find life on other planets? What if somebody else from another planet is trying to find life and it's like, oh, here's Earth. It's green. It's blue. There's got to be something there.
And they start
there.
Talking to people and they become sorely disappointed.
And then they start watching our communications and say, all these people do is shop.
So anyways, I get sent that video after my family had mentioned to me, hey, did you see what's going on with all on the news? They're talking about all the UFO sightings, how they're skyrocketing all over the world. They're trying to figure out what's going on. And then I get sent that video clip you just watched. That was on the news from a sister in Christ. And then I come across this.
Literally get sent this by many people from the New York Post, an article just entitled, Several Recent UFO Sightings Reported by Pilots Over the Pacific Ocean. Numerous sightings of unidentified flying objects, UFOs, have been reported by dozens of pilots flying across the Pacific Ocean over the last 2 months, according to a UFO researcher.
And then I get sent this, one of many places reported, this is from WHYY-PBS, NASA announces the team members for its UFO study. Let me read some of this to you. A group of 16 researchers will spend the next 9 months studying unidentified aerial phenomena, also known as UFOs, as part of a team for NASA. So NASA has created this 16-member team that's going to spend the next 9 months studying and investigating UFOs. The research, which will use unclassified data, will lead to a report that will be made available to the public next year. So next year, in 2023, since they just started this 9-month study, it's going to come out, looks like, toward 9 months from now, so summer going to closer to fall of 2023, they'll actually release this study of UFOs to the public. So what in the world's going on? Again, in that news clip I had showed a little bit ago, they're trying to figure out what's going on with all the UFO sightings. What are people seeing? Now, I want to make something very clear, folks. People are seeing something, but like you see on the screen here, no, I'm not an alien from outer space. I am a demonic fallen angel. I am not extraterrestrial, but I am interdimensional. No, I don't come in peace. I come in the name of Satan, and my purpose is to deceive, harm, and destroy you. So people are seeing something, folks, but what they're seeing is demonic. And it's all part of the plan. What people are seeing, what they're witnessing, right? This is all part of the plan, Satan's plan, to deceive mankind. Because after the rapture, when millions upon millions of people vanish, the future Antichrist, who has not been revealed yet, he will not be revealed until after the rapture of the church. The Antichrist, the new world order system that's going to rise with him, they're going to have an answer to where millions of people went. All right. They're not going to say Jesus just came to rapture his church. They're going to say, again, it was aliens, UFOs, or something along those lines. What we're seeing now, what we've been seeing for years, but especially over the last couple years, it's a massive uptick in these reports, is because this is all part of the plan to deceive and condition people to believe the lie that is coming after the rapture of the church. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, the Apostle Paul says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Again, folks, what we are seeing right now, people are being deceived. This is demonic. What people are seeing, again, it's not aliens. It's not, you know, in terms of aliens, UFOs, all that stuff. Again, no, this is all spiritual war. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This is all part of the coming strong or great deception and lie that people are going to believe after the rapture of the church. In the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 6 to 12, after the rapture of the church and the restrainer is taken out of the way, this is what's recorded in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 6 to 12. The Apostle Paul records, "And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteous in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." Listen to this next part, folks. "And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Very clearly there, once the restrainer is taken out of the way, after the rapture of the church, then we see the Antichrist is revealed, right, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. And later on in verse 11, "And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie." So after the rapture, right, when God sends this strong delusion, the world is going to believe the signs and lying wonders of the Antichrist. Absolutely, that is the strong delusion. People are going to believe this future Antichrist with all the signs and lying wonders, with all power and signs and lying wonders. But part of the strong delusion, this great delusion that people are going to belie, this great deception, again, they're going to have to try to explain away the rapture, where millions of people went. And that's why we continue to see this massive UFO and alien deception that is sweeping this planet right now. And make no mistake about it, in the days, weeks, and months ahead, especially as this NASA team does their study over the next 9 months, and next year they're going to release their study to the public on what they find. Folks, it is clear as day, the world is being conditioned to believe the lie that is coming after the rapture of the church. Again, once millions upon millions of born-again believers in Jesus Christ suddenly vanish, all hell's going to break loose on this planet. The Antichrist, Mr. Fix-It-All, as I like to call him, he's going to come on the world scene. He's going to have all the answers. He's going to make order out of chaos, and he is going to explain away him and this new world order system that rises with him. They're going to try to explain where everybody went. And if you're watching this video right now, you might be laughing at me right now, but when millions upon millions of people suddenly vanish, and this man comes forth with this system, and they try to say, oh, something involving aliens or UFOs, they got all these wacky people off this planet, they took them, or something along those lines, that's not what happened. It wasn't aliens, it wasn't UFOs. Jesus Christ just came and raptured his church. You can find the rapture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 to 53, John chapter 14, verse 1 to 3. So it wasn't aliens catching people up or UFOs. Jesus Christ just came to call up those that are his. He snatched them away to meet him in the air, to take them to heaven, to be with him forever while the judgment of God is being poured out on humanity. Here's the bottom line, folks. If we continue to see the deception, the conditioning process building up, leading up to this strong deception, this great deception that will occur after the rapture of the church. And we know the rapture of the church has to occur before the Antichrist can be revealed. How close are we to the rapture? I would say a lot closer than people realize. And if you're watching this video right now and you don't have Jesus Christ in your life, just look around this world right now at everything occurring and look at what your Bible says. You will see several things are true. The Bible is real. The Bible is alive. Jesus is real. Jesus is alive. And Jesus is coming back. And he's coming back one day very, very, very soon. This current world order, it is sinking, and it is sinking fast, just like the Titanic. You need to get on the lifeboat right here and right now. That lifeboat is Jesus Christ and him alone. I'm not telling you to get religious. I'm telling you, you can be saved right here, right now, as you're watching this video. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. What do you have to do to be saved? Well, the gospel of your salvation is found in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 4. Believe. You're believing Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. The sin debt that you could never pay on your own, Jesus Christ paid it in full with his blood on the cross, so you could be reconciled back to him, forgiven of your sins, and be with him forever in heaven. So you're believing Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, he was buried, and he rose again. He resurrected on the third day as it is written in the scriptures. That's the gospel of your salvation. If you're still confused, here's the bottom line. Every single one of us is a sinner. We all miss the mark. We all fall short of the glory of God. And our sin separates us from a holy, a just, and a perfect God. But God loves you so much that he would come down. He would be born of a virgin. He became flesh. He dwelt among us. And he was brutally tortured and crucified and shed his precious blood for you on that cross at Calvary. Again, the sin debt that you could never pay on your own, Jesus Christ paid it in full with his blood on the cross so you could be reconciled back to him, forgiven of your sins, and be with him forever in heaven. That is love, my friends. That is love. The bottom line is this. Heaven and hell are very real, literal places, and you will spend an eternity in one of those destinations. Hell's a real place. It's eternal torment. It's eternal separation from God. I don't want you to go there. Jesus does not want you to go there. But if you die without Jesus Christ, you will be separated from God for eternity in hell. And I am going to tell you the truth because I love you. Jesus Christ is the only way to the kingdom of heaven, and he's the only name that can save you. In John 14:6, we read, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In Acts 4:12, we read, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In 1 Timothy 2:5, we read, for there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So the Virgin Mary is not going to save you. Buddha is not going to save you. Allah is not going to save you. Muhammad is not going to save you. Dead saints are not going to save you. Religion is not going to save you. The New Age movement is not going to save you. Your own human effort, you trying to earn your way there, that is not going to save you. There is only one way to the kingdom of heaven and one name that can save you, and that is Jesus Christ and him alone. I am begging you, I am imploring you to get saved right now. Put your faith and your trust in the blood of Jesus Christ right now. Believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. He was buried, and he rose again. He resurrected on the third day as it is written in the scriptures. And do it now, because tomorrow is not promised. And make no mistake about it, Jesus is coming, and he's coming one day very, very, very soon. Keep looking up. Keep watching with me. God bless you all.